I'm J.G. Michael, and this is Parallax Views.
Parallax is you observe an object.
Greetings, my friend. We are all interested in the future, for that is where you and I are going to spend the rest of our lives. And remember, my friend, future events such as these will affect you in the future. You are interested in the unknown, the mysterious, the unexplainable. That is why you are here. And now, for the first time, we are bringing to you the full story of what happened on that fateful day. We are giving you all the evidence based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Let us punish the guilty. Let us reward the innocent. My friend, can your heart stand the shocking facts about
Feral Man?
In 1989, a visionary renegade whose some called Mad unleashed a Frankenstein monster upon the publishing world. His name? Adam Parfrey. His creation? Feral House. An independent press specializing in forbidden topics, Feral House delighted lovers of the shocking, strange, and bizarre, and terrorized uptight, anal-retentive bourgeois weenies across the world. This is his story, as told by fans, friends, and associates. Parallax News proudly presents Feral Man, the Adam Parfrey Story.
On this edition of Parallax Views, Feral Man, the Adam Parfrey Story, I'll be speaking with two different guests. The first is John Zerzon. John is a mainstay author at Feral House whose books take a sharp critical perspective on civilization and technology. And after that, I'll be speaking with Dr. David Scribina. David helped write the introduction to one of Feral House's most controversial books, Technological Slavery, by Ted Kaczynski, known infamously as the Unabomber. John Zerzon is an anarcho-primitivist philosopher and thinker based out of Eugene, Oregon. He is the editor of the Feral House anthology Against Civilization, as well as the author of Running on Emptiness, Twilight of the Machines, Future Primitive Revisited, Why Hope? The Stand Against Civilization, and, most recently, A People's History of Civilization, all released by Feral House Publications. John can be heard every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time or 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the University of Oregon's KWVA radio station for the weekly broadcast of Anarchy Radio. Welcome to Parallax Views, John Zerzon.
Hey, thanks. Good to be with you.
So I wanted to bring you on because you were sort of one of the mainstay authors at Feral House. Were you familiar with Feral House before you became an author there?
Well, I guess I was familiar with Amok Press back in the 80s. Yeah, my first contact with Adam goes back to the mid-80s. He was here in Eugene, and as you may know, the first connection was the first edition of Apocalypse Culture, and my piece on agriculture or the origins of civilization appeared in that first one, and that's how we got started. I was sort of dimly aware before that. As I say, Amok Press comes to mind when Kibitz, he was part of that, and then he, you know, started his own thing.
Right, right. So how after you had the piece published in Apocalypse Culture, how did Adam end up publishing your books or anthologies like Twilight of the Machines?
There was quite a gap there between the I think Apocalypse Culture was 1987, and I think it was a while of 10 years. I'm not sure, frankly, but I don't know. I mean, I always found Adam so interesting and so very honest, by the way. And he was always very candid with me, but I wasn't sure as to why he wanted me to be part of his catalog, because my stuff is more, you know, political theory kind of stuff and not very popular in terms of sales, you know, for one thing. And, but anyway, I was very glad that we did get hooked up.
Did he ever express an affinity for your ideas and anarcho-primitivism?
I got the feeling he was sympathetic. You know, he wasn't what people would probably normally call a, quote, political person. He had his theories about society and why he did what he did, but I don't really recall any real explicit discussions about that, but I always did feel he was sympathetic.
Did you ever get the feeling that the Adam was accused a lot of having these like crypto-fascist tendencies? Did you ever get the impression that was all like sort of nonsense or, you know, just BS on people's part?
Yeah, I thought it was nonsense. I thought that's ridiculous. And, you know, I've had something of the same myself. And it just, you know, you wonder where is that coming from? And so I've tried to run it down, no matter who it is, you know, because in some cases that could be a valid commentary. But for example, in my case, people have said, since I have quoted Heidegger in terms of some essays, I mean, Heidegger, for Christ's sake, probably the most well-known philosopher of the 20th century, and quoting him means I'm a Nazi or something. I mean, that's just stupid. If you read the stuff, it's not, I'm not endorsing his thing with the Nazis in the mid 30s whatsoever. Or even, for example, there are anarchists who were, you know, of course, extremely anti-religious. And I quote something from the Bible. The Bible, of course, is a great literary source. It doesn't mean you're a, you know, religious person to quote some line from some book in the Bible. It's equally spurious and ridiculous. You could go through anybody's stuff and pull out people and say, well, I don't agree with that person. Well, so what? That's not the point of citing them. It's always to make a particular point or to underline something. In no way does it mean necessarily that you're a big fan or, you know, aligned with them politically or something. That's just stupid. And so with Adam, I never got the slightest hint of that. I mean, like I say, we didn't have a lot of, you know, quote, political discussions, but that just seemed quite crazy to me.
Are there any personal anecdotes or recollections you have of Adam that you'd like to share?
Well, you know, yeah, a few. I just one comes to mind, just the latest one. Sadly, the most recent one, he was down here in Eugene, Oregon, to go to the country fair with a couple of young friends of his. I think they were neighbors there in Port Townsend. And they came down here, and, you know, that seemed to be typical of Adam. He was very open-minded. You know, if some people might have thought, oh, he's a kind of L.A. hipster kind of guy, you know, and he's with all these esoteric characters and everything. I always found him very down-to-earth and open to new things. You know, a quiet-spoken person, a soft-spoken, friendly guy. And, yeah, that was the last time. They were here, I think, overnight at my place, and then they went out to the country fair, the sort of hippie fair down here, and then they went back up to Washington. You know, it was a nice weekend for them, I think.
Yeah, I always got the feeling that that characterization of Adam as this sort of LA hipster was a bit off the mark. Other people I've talked to so far said that Adam was sort of he was a lot like you. He was a person that just enjoyed talking to people and, you know, just being around people and getting to know them and talking about ideas and thinking about things with others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that strikes me as my sense of him. He got along with a lot of different types of people, including other anarchist publishers, for example. I know he was friends with the AK people. You know, so apparently they didn't think he was some kind of a closet fascist or something, you know.
How do you recall how Adam first contacted you to be involved in the Apocalypse Culture anthology?
I really don't. Sorry, that's, you know, back in the 80s.
Right. It's a long while ago.
My hit is that it kind of came out of the blue. And so I was very happy to collaborate with him and pleased to be in there. And that's when I first heard from him his idea of publishing that, namely, and I'm sure you know this, namely that you can plumb the reality of the culture, not by sociological studies or other mainstream stuff, but you really learn more by looking at these sort of offbeat people or ideas. That's how you can kind of figure out a lot more than the standard, you know, mainstream or academic stuff. And I always thought about that. I always puzzled about that, that was why he was doing that.
Yeah, I when I talked to Adam, I interviewed him once before. He seemed very interested in the idea of finding exit points from, you know, mainstream and bourgeois culture. And I think that was his primary interest in a lot of ways.
I see. Yeah, that sounds like well put.
So one more question. What do you think Adam and Feral House's lasting legacy will be?
Well, I hope we're not putting this in the past tense. I hope Feral House, you know, continues. But, you know, he was pioneering this. I mean, he was the it was a one person deal for quite a while. And he was shaping the thing according to his lights, his sense of how to explore the culture. And as you say, looking for these, and that, I find that similar to my work in some ways. You know, you look at these places that are not, where it doesn't seem so natural or inevitable that things work out a certain way, because there are other options. There are other people that don't go along with the mainstream stuff. They just don't. And so they have their own take on things that can be very fascinating. So I think that's kind of the heart of it to me. And, you know, Feral House has put out some very valuable stuff in many regards. And I'm kind of, you know, I'm sort of atypical, I think, because it's sort of more, you know, in a way more academic, although I'm not an academic, but and probably less saleable. You know, I don't think he made a lot of money from my books, but he was always willing to publish me, and I was grateful. So I think it'll stand up that he put in a lot of years doing this and doing it very consistently, doing it very well, you know, very nice stuff. The brand new book of mine, you know, A People's History of Civilization, for example, is beautifully done. The whole layout and the graphics are just very impressive.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to reading that. We can have you back on to talk about that at some point. What is new and different about A People's History of Civilization? How does it differ from your past releases with Feral House?
Well, one thing is, and Adam knew this, of course, very well, that I've never written a book. All these books are collections of essays, some very short, some long. Excuse me, longer ones, but it's like you put it on the scale and you get enough, it's you know, a requisite number of pages, that's a book. But within the pages, the things in there are exploring all kinds of different things. There's a common thread in the sense of my anti-civilization perspective, my anti-technology perspective, but it's a whole range of stuff. So this new one, A People's History of Civilization, really is just compiling pieces from, in fact, even from before my collaboration with Adam, some of the very earliest ones, they weren't Feral House publications, but it just struck me that if I kind of put them end to end or chronologically, they pretty much make a narrative of history of the West with some one or two holes. I wrote a couple of new pieces and I did a little revising and updating of the old ones, but that was the closest thing to an actual book where it's, you know, where every piece is in effect a chapter, unlike the other books.
Yeah, and I just thought of one more thing really quickly. I thought of the fact that Adam published both you and Ted Kaczynski, and you both had contact with Kaczynski. I thought it was very brave of Adam to publish the book Technological Slavery. You know, it's a book by the Unabomber. So what do you think about Adam publishing the Unabomber's work and just sort of bucking the trend and saying, I'm going to publish this regardless of what people think about it?
Well, yeah, that's kind of typical, I think. You know, he put out some stuff that certainly, I think, scandalized some people, and that's a good example. And, you know, I wasn't totally happy strictly because not that he was publishing it. I certainly think it should have been published. But by that time, Kaczynski and I were really at odds over certain things. You know, the book is largely an attack on anarcho-primitivism and me, quite frankly. Adam was telling me, well, you know, it's not so bad. He's not that totally hostile to you and so forth. But anyway, we had our issues about how he wrote that piece, and I won't go off into that, but in no way do I, you know, I was never at all against him publishing it, and he did a very beautiful job with it.
Yeah, I think that's what stands out about Adam. He was a high quality publisher of what he called forbidden topics. He did things that were out of the mainstream, and he gave a voice to people like yourself who had really interesting and different ideas. And I'm glad that we had a person like Adam doing this work, and I hope Feral House continues onward into the future.
Yes, yes, bravo. I second that.
Well, thank you again, John, for coming on the show and talking about your relationship to Adam Parfrey and his publishing of your work.
I appreciate it, Joe.
Dr. David Skirbina is a senior lecturer at University of Michigan, Dearborn. His areas of interest include philosophy of mind, philosophy of technology, and environmental ethics. He has written the books Panpsychism in the West, released by MIT Press in its second edition in 2017, The Metaphysics of Technology, released by Routledge in 2015, and most recently, The Jesus Hoax, released by Creative Fire Press. I spoke with Dr. Skirbina about his time working with Adam on the Feral House publication of Ted Kaczynski's writings, Technological Slavery. I hope you'll enjoy my short interview with Dr. David Skirbina. Welcome to Parallax Views, David Skirbina.
Yes, hello.
So I wanted to talk to you for this tribute I'm doing for Adam Parfrey and Feral House, because you worked on one of the most controversial books that Feral House released, the Unabomber book, Technological Slavery. How did you become involved with that project?
Right. Well, that one grew out of a number of letters that I had exchanged with Kaczynski over several years, beginning back in late 2003. So I teach philosophy at the University of Michigan, and I was developing a new course in the philosophy of technology. And I was putting together a course pack and ultimately a textbook that I was going to use for the course. And it had a variety of critical writings on technology, historical and modern day. And for present day ones, of course, I had to include some of the Unabomber's manifesto. But at the time, I was wondering what Kaczynski was thinking. It had been several years since he was put in jail, and we had heard nothing. The media had given nothing on his status, what he was doing, what he was thinking, nothing. So I decided to write to him directly to try to get an update on some of his ideas and thoughts about the manifesto and more recent thoughts and so forth. And he responded quite quickly, and it kicked off a long series of letters back and forth between himself and myself, basically on the question of technology, you know, what it is, how it works, how to respond, what kind of threats are posed by it. And then after a few years of a detailed letter exchange, it became clear that there was enough material to do a book. He had written four or five significant essays since he was in jail. We had dozens of pages, 100 pages of letters that were interesting material, and a few other miscellaneous things. So we decided to put together the material into book form. And eventually we ended up with Farrell House, and Adam accepted it, and he published it as Technological Slavery.
So what was your correspondence with Adam like? I know you only had a few correspondences with him, but...
Yeah, no, it was a very good discussion. We had a hard time finding an American publisher who would take the book. It was obviously controversial. We had actually had an agent for a while. We had tried mainstream publishers, and they all turned us down. So we were quite fortunate and happy to find Adam and see that he was willing to take the project on. I mean, he was always very helpful. He and I could correspond directly through phone and email. Obviously, he could not do that with Kaczynski. You can only reach him through a letter writing process that's very slow. It takes a couple of weeks for a letter to get through to him and a couple of weeks to get out. So it's a very slow exchange process. So I worked with Adam quite a bit to get some of the book in its final form. And so I wrote the introduction and helped to put together an index and some other material to try to wrap up the project. So it was a good experience. Adam was very helpful on the whole project.
You mentioned that other publishers were afraid to touch it. One of the great things about Farrell House was that they were willing to publish things that were off on the edge of sort of the mainstream. Do you think it was like brave on Adam's part to publish the book?
Oh, I suppose, yeah. I mean, it takes a little bit of courage to go out there with a book like that. So, yeah, I mean, it's a little bit strange because we have books. Yeah, I don't know, books by other notorious people, you know, and lots of books about criminals and so forth. It's a little bit strange. It would seem like this was a special case with the mainstream publishers. I've always suspected that they somehow did not like the idea that Kaczynski was a very lucid and intelligent fellow who made a very strong case against technology, and it was very hard to defeat. And, you know, they like talking about prisoners when they're clearly lunatics, and it's easy to dismiss their ideas. And that was not the case with Kaczynski. So I suspect no one could easily shoot down his arguments, and they decided, well, it's better not to handle that at all. So, we're definitely grateful that Adam was willing to take it on, and he did a good job with it. I don't know that he got any particular negative feedback or criticism from the book. He never mentioned anything to me about that, so I have to assume it went pretty well for him.
What do you think drew Adam and Farrell House to the book by Kaczynski, wanting to delve into that? Did you ever glean anything like that from him?
Nothing specific, I guess. I mean, I mean, just knowing Farrell House, their general lineup, you know, it's controversial stuff, counterculture things, challenging the status quo. So, I mean, I think it's a good fit for that lineup.
Do you have any personal anecdotes from your working with him that you could share with us?
Nothing of special interest, I would say. I mean, he was just a very straightforward guy. He was always very, very forthright, and I think he was interested in the project. He was glad to have somebody like myself to communicate with and to help coordinate things. And it was just a straightforward, good, positive relationship. So no special stories to tell on that one.
The final question: What do you think the legacy of Adam will be as a publisher, knowing that he just published books like the Unabomber book and books that were sort of, you know, pushing at the limits of what the mainstream had allowed to be released?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, you know, throughout history, there's always been publishers who have had a little bit more courage than the average person out there, and they've put forth, you know, interesting and controversial books. Some of the greatest books in history have been by people who are willing to publish these, you know, heretical thoughts or, you know, renegade ideas or other controversies. So there's a long history of people who've done a great service to the history of ideas by being willing to go out on a limb and to publish books that were not very fashionable or very safe at the time. So, you know, I would say long run, it's going to be a positive impact for Adam and for Farrell House that he was willing to do this. I mean, in the case of Kaczynski, it's an important book. It was the first book published by a major American terrorist, you know, if you believe the mainstream media. So I think the book is of some real historical importance, and its true value has yet to be realized. I think it's only in the last few years, maybe the last couple of years, that the media have generally started talking a little bit more about Kaczynski, a little bit more about his ideas, and that they're sort of willing to tackle some of these problems with technology. And as the media slowly comes out of its shell on this topic, and as we're confronted with ever greater problems of technology, you know, the book, Kaczynski's book, Technological Slavery, really stands out as a milestone work that may really have set us thinking in a really fundamental way about what we need to do about technology, how to deal with it at a fundamental level. You know, the call for revolution and to tear down the system basically is a very radical statement, but there's a lot of basis and a lot of rationale behind that statement. So, you know, Kaczynski has a good legacy, and I think Adam and Farrell House also have a very positive legacy, as we see the value of this book will probably only grow over time.
Well, thank you again, David, for showing up on Parallax Views and speaking with me about Adam Parfrey and the Unabomber book, Technological Slavery.
Very good. Thank you.
Well, that does it for this edition of Parallax Views, Feral Man, the Adam Parfrey story. I hope you enjoyed my interviews with John Zerzon and Dr. David Skirbina. Given the subjects covered in this episode, I'm going to close out the show with a track by the crust punk band Nausea called Techno Logic Kill.